The Bible speaks about the believers being ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we know that He was the Son of God. He was God incarnate, coming, Emmanuel, God with us. And we could say the same thing. There was Jesus Christ, as though God was pleading through Him. God was showing the peoples of the world His nature, His love, His desire, His nature to reach a lost mankind, His nature of goodness and love, and His desire to reach a lost mankind. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Similarly, that we are called to plead for God, to plead on His behalf, to speak as Jesus Christ spoke for the Father, so we speak for Jesus Christ. As I have been sent, so I send you, said the Lord Jesus Christ. A little while ago, when I was preaching on this similar subject of being an ambassador of Christ, I asked the people in the church, what do you think is the most important place to spend your time? Is it in a church building with church meetings? Or is it in the work, your study place, or the home, or somewhere else? What is the most important place? Where do you think it is the most important place to spend your time? In a church building or a church meeting? In the work or a study place or a home or somewhere else? What's of most value, really, when it comes to the things eternal, the things spiritual? And our first reaction probably is to think that the most important thing spiritually and from eternal perspective is to spend our time in a church building and church meetings, because surely in a church meeting we are coming together to worship God. And that's what we're called to do, to worship God, to praise God. We're called to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Bible. And man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the normal reaction, first of all, is to think that the most important place for us to spend our time is actually in the church meeting and in the programs that go on around a church building or a church congregation. But actually, is that true? Because if we're ambassadors for Christ and we are those who are as though God were pleading through us, then how can we speak and plead for God and as His ambassadors when we're in a church meeting where with other believers and other Christians who are come together? How can we plead with them? Because they already know the love of Jesus. They already know the love of God. They already know His joy of eternal life. And so surely there's another aspect to what we are as Christians and where we should spend our time, where we should value our time. I'm not saying that we don't come together. The Bible says, let us not give up on meeting together. The place of the people of God coming together is important. The word church in the Greek is the word ecclesia, which means the called out ones or the gathered out ones. The church really is the people of God called out from the world and gathered together. It's from the ecclesia, it's from the Greek, when they would call out the citizens of the state to come together in a forum to debate and effectively vote on decisions regarding the state. They're called out together. So we as a church, we are the church effectively. We are the ecclesia. We are the gathered out ones, the called out ones. And so we are the people. But church, therefore, is not a building. It's not a meeting. We are the people of God. And actually, when we say we're going to church on Sunday, that really doesn't make sense biblically. It makes sense to us. We all understand it. And therefore, it's a valid thing to say. But actually, we're not going to church on a Sunday because we are the church. And part of the problem that we see is that when we think of church as a building or a meeting, we then assign often spiritual life and the calling of our life is gathered around the church building, is gathered around the meeting, it's gathered around Sunday services. And that's our spiritual highlight. And as we know, it's possible very much for us to be a Sunday Christian. Remember one preacher talking about some Christians who, on a Sunday, they're like, he calls them submarine Christians. The periscope comes up and they come out on a Sunday and then they lift the periscope as lift their hands and worship Jesus and say, how wonderful, how beautiful you are and majesty, and we praise your name on a Sunday. But on a Monday morning, the submarine goes under the water. The Christians go under the surface. They hide during the week. And nothing is seen of them as Christians until the next Sunday when up the submarine comes, the periscope comes up, the hands go up, and they worship God together. And that's sometimes the case. We become Sunday Christians, or maybe a Wednesday night Bible study, or a Tuesday night a prayer meeting, or even certain groups like life groups, cell groups, house groups where we meet together. But actually in Christianity, it seems that if you analyze a lot of our churches, talk about church congregations now, and everything centers around the building. If we look at the church program, if you listen to nearly every church program, it's about coming to our Sunday services, come to our prayer meeting, come to our Bible study, come to our house cell group, come to our special meeting, we have a guest there, come to this. And it's everything is centered around the building. It's if Jesus said, I came to give you meetings and meetings in abundance. And I know I've been in that situation in a church where great programs, great meetings, but we spent almost all the time in the church building. And even though the ministry team wanted people to evangelize and reach out to the people in their neighborhood and their congregations and their workplace, effectively they were saying, we have a meeting this night, a meeting that night, a meeting that night, a meeting this night, a meeting that night. It was almost impossible for anybody to almost have a family life, let alone have time to share with their neighbors. And I'm sharing this because Jesus said we're called primarily to be ambassadors for Him. As if God were pleading through us, and therefore we need to evaluate how much time we actually spend focused on church meetings and church programs. I know of many people, and I live in London at this time, and who go from one conference to another conference to another conference to another conference. Oh, they hear on the radio a certain preacher's coming for this weekend or this meeting, and they go there, and then you'll see another preacher there, and you'll see them at all the conferences. And they were, I call them conference junkies. They're addicted to conferences. And I start asking myself the question, is this what we're all about? Is this what God has called us to be? But no, the Bible says we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be His ambassadors, as though God were pleading through us. Recently, we went on a mission to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, we were sharing the gospel with lots of different people, but we went into many high schools. We went into four high schools in particular. And in certain high schools, we were preaching to an assembly gathered of some 600, 800 children. In other schools, we were going from classroom to classroom, approximately 60 in each classroom. And as we were going, the team that was part of our Ambassadors for All Nations team were going in there and sharing, just simple program. We'd sing some worship songs or songs of joy. Then we would give a testimony. We'd have a mime. And then we would preach. All of that was saying, we're ambassadors. We've come from another country. We've come from far to your country, to your high school. And as though God were pleading through us, we're wanting you to know what God is to us, what God has done for our lives, that He wants to do for you too. And they would preach. We would preach. And then at the end of preaching, we would ask the people, do you want to now receive Jesus Christ as Lord, your Lord and Savior? We want to pray with you. And many of those high school children would bow their heads and pray. Many sincerely asking Jesus Christ into their heart and life. And I thought to myself, as I observed this and took part in some of this, is watching the team in action, thinking, this is what we're meant to do. This is what we're meant to be. We're meant to be ambassadors for Christ, and this is what we're meant to do in reaching out to these people. Whether it's a high school, whether it's a workplace, whether it's on the street, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And I thought of all those people who went from conference to conference. And I thought, you go, you receive a lot of teaching. You receive a lot of excellent teaching and a lot of, you enjoy the worship, but actually your Christian life is not what it should be. It needs to be out there. Recently we had a ministry that came to our church in London and for a conference, and that was a really great eye-opener for me, because the ministry coming said, we're going to teach about God's spiritual gifts and how He wants to use us in spiritual gifts. But what we're going to do is we're going to go out in the afternoon. We're going to go out in the afternoon and we're going to take what we've learned out onto the streets. We're going to the parks. We're going to go into different places and we're going to take it out. And teams went out into parks. They went out into cafeterias. They went out into the streets and they began to share what insight God was giving them to the people who were there. And many were touched and shocked, really, because God was giving revelation to these people as they were in the cafeterias and the parks and the streets. And they're saying, how do you know this? What is this? Because they were saying, God has spoken to us and this is a message for you. Now you see, this is what it's about. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. That conference I loved because I thought, this is what it's about. We receive the Word of God, the instruction to teach us many things. But one of the things is to share with us so that we can be those ambassadors for Christ. So is your focus wrong? Is the focus of your church wrong? Is it just purely focused in on your meetings, on your buildings? Or is it focused on raising up people to be ambassadors for Christ? I want to share with you that because it's this fact that often churches are like that. I believe the focus is wrong. If we were called to be ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. You see, people judge churches on their numbers. I've been a pastor. I still am a pastor, but I'm not overseeing and pastoring a church at the moment. But with the ministry that we have, but as a pastor, you're so concerned about your numbers, especially if your church is relatively small, although sometimes big churches are concerned about their numbers because they want to have more in their church than other churches. They want to be the biggest, the largest, and even with small churches, we used to sort of count, and I'd visit different churches, and as a preacher, and when we go to the churches, people would say, oh, we're only a small congregation today, we're 30 or 40, but actually, we're really about 80, but a lot of people are away on holiday and not able to be here today, and it was the same in every congregation. Now, I understand that at any one time there are people away, it can't be there, but there was a desire for every pastor to have the biggest number in his church, to show, to not be embarrassed, to say, we've got this, and we've got this number. And unfortunately, that numbers game becomes the most important thing. It's like, it can be embarrassing because that church over there has got more than I, and it becomes a question of pride, and we need to be careful because pride can be dangerous, and God, the Bible says several occasions, detests the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I've seen that. Churches even manipulating figures to look like they have more, and actually it's not always the case. But you see, the focus is on the numbers, is on the meeting. But actually, that's not what church is about, because we are the church. So every member of a congregation or of your congregation is a member, is God's part of God's church. We are the church. And so we need to think differently. I remember going to quite a small church in West London and sharing with the people there. And the church was not large, maybe 20 to 30 people there. And I remember sensing God saying to me, to the pastor, to the church, don't evaluate your church by the numbers that are in there. Don't think we're only 20 or 30, because your church is the people represented it. And your people are ambassadors for Christ. And the work of your church, the work of your community, is greater than the numbers that are actually in the congregation. And what did I mean? What was the impression that God was laying on my heart? Well, in that church, for example, there was a man who has a ministry, going into prisons, sharing his testimony, singing rap. A great ministry. And yet, anybody who would receive Jesus Christ through that ministry would not be found in that church in West London. Why? Because they're in prison. And even if they came out of prison, they probably live in another part of the country. What I was saying was, the ministry, for example, of this man going into prisons is part of your church. It's part of church. You are reaching out beyond your four walls. And actually your church is bigger than your 20 or 30 because what you are doing is reaching out beyond. And so don't think of your 20 or 30 as your church, because your church is what you do during the week. It's what you do in your ministries. It's what you do. And because you reach people from all different communities or areas, and they may not be able to come to this specific location on a Sunday because it's far or it's away, that doesn't matter in one sense. What matters is to think about yourself as ambassadors for Christ and what you're doing for His kingdom. And I see so many in that church, wonderful musicians, going out and performing and declaring Jesus through the music, and yet traveling all over, sometimes other nations, and yet not bringing people to that particular corner of West London for the church. And so we still look at that church and see 20 or 30 people, and we still love to see more there. And I believe that God wants to bring more to our churches, more people to get saved in our localities. But sometimes we need to think beyond that, to think that we're ambassadors for Christ, and that what we do outside of the church is valid and important. The church really is the sum total of the people and activities of all the people during the week. And actually, where do we find ourselves during the week? Well, unless you work in a church, you usually find most of your time could be spent in the workplace, or a student in the college, or some homemakers in the home, the shops, the laundrette, the restaurant, the library. Actually, we're not usually spending most of our time in a church building. We're in another place. And it would be unwise to think, well, actually, the Sunday service, the Wednesday night, that's my spiritual part of my work. That's where I am. That's what I'm meant to be. Well, actually, no. God places us where we are. God gives us talents, gives us giftings, gives us abilities, and people use those talents and gifts and abilities in a workplace. It could be a doctor, it could be a painter, a builder, a cleaner. It's lots of different gifts and talents. We work in different areas using our talents, designers, and that's the place we're meant to be. Using our God-given talents and gifts. And that's great. That's important. But it's not just simply about doing that work. Being the person that goes to work and works 9 to 5 or longer or less. And then waiting for the weekend, as many people do in my country. Just longing for the weekend. Saying when the weekend comes. Or maybe it's Christians. Longing for the Christian meeting at the end of the weekend. And living for that. Well, actually, no. The workplace is where God has placed us. Or the college. Or the home. And where we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be His representatives. As though God were pleading through us. That's where God has called us to be. And so actually, when you think about it, we spend most of our time in those places rather than the church. And so we need to understand. We need to understand that that is where we're meant to be. And that is valid. And that is good. And actually, it's a place of ministry. Now, I don't mean you put down your computer or your work tools and you just spend your time praying for people and ministering, and you switch off your computer and worship God, because you would probably be sacked or fired from your job because of your attitude. Because, you know, the Bible talks about submitting to people in authority, and you've submitted to a contract and a work, and therefore your time is given up to be that worker and to do your work well. But we're also called to be ambassadors. And that means many things, doesn't it? It means that we're called to do our job well. We're called to be Christ's representative. And when people looked at Jesus Christ, they said, what is it about him? There's something different. And there were many things different about him. But one of the things I think that was so different about him was integrity. In fact, his disciples could say, there was no sin in him. There was no sin in him. There was something different about him. And therefore, as ambassadors in the workplace, ambassadors in college, at home, we're called to be people of integrity. And therefore, we're not meant to be like the other people. If the other people are not people of integrity, if the other people are cheating or stealing time or doing things inefficiently or cutting corners. You know, sometimes we discover terrible things that happen when people cut corners. Remember of the earthquake in Turkey where lots of people lost their lives as building collapsed. And afterwards they said because the buildings were put up with cheap material and they avoided the regulations that would have put in good material that would have withstood earthquakes. You see, we see television programs in this country where they have House of Horrors, one of them is called, where they watch people doing work who botch their work, who are not good at their work, who cheat and lie, and they do things, and it's often dangerous what they do because their job is not done well. And people often in this, unfortunately, try and cut corners to do things to avoid the save money or to save time. Or people are not concerned about being responsible. But for us, as ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we're called to do our jobs well. We're called to be people of integrity. We're called to do it differently. We're called to be there. That means that we're in our post at the right time. We're in our place and we stay to the right time. That means what we do it well, to the best of our ability. We use the talents God has given us. And it also means that we do it with integrity. We don't cheat. We don't lie. We do an honest day's work. They talked about in Europe, after the Reformation in Europe, in the 16th century onwards, they talked about the rise of Western Europe, and they talked about a whole aspect of things, which historians call the Protestant work ethic. The Protestant work ethic. And effectively what it was those who had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior began to realize that they were ambassadors. And that they were not supposed to neglect their life or like the foolish virgins hang around without any oil. They were meant to do their job and do their job well. And so they worked hard. And it became known as the Protestant work ethic. And in some measure, in some factor, the rise of Western Europe, and though not perfect in many ways, was a result of people working hard and responsibly in their work. And so God calls us to be an ambassador for Christ. As though Christ, God were pleading through us in integrity of our workplace. And then not only that, he's called us to look at the people around us. He's placed us there with people around us. Some may not be very likable. They may be really, sometimes, horrible or vile or foul-minded or foul thoughts. But God has placed us there. He's placed us there as a representative to share his love and his compassion for people. I think Jesus, when we look at him, it's a good one always to read the Gospels and observe Jesus and listen to his words, and that he looked upon the crowds, and the Bible said he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And I guess if you look more carefully at many of them, they'd have been foul-mouthed. They'd have been immoral. They would have been lazy, sometimes good-for-nothing people. They would have been these. And we saw this with the woman caught in adultery. There were people who were not perfect. He went to the houses of tax collectors and sinners because he was an ambassador. As though God was pleading through him. He said, I'm going there because I've got a message. I've got something to show them. And he would go to these places. And that's what God has called us to do and to be and to go to and to do. to go to these places and share His love. And to look at people even around us in our workplaces, where we meet, or the clubs, the societies where we meet, and say, these people are placed here, not just because they're doing the same job as me or in the same place. It's actually, this is God has placed these people around me. And then it's been open to God and saying, Lord, I'm here and these people are here. There's a purpose. Show me the purpose. Show me why I'm here. I'm your ambassador. Show me who you want me to talk to. Show me how. Show me when. Show me, Lord. Because I want, I want your heartbeat. I want your same compassion for these people. And not to look at them just as people, but to look at them as sheep without a shepherd. Dare I say it, but in some ways, we're pastors. We're all pastors. Shepherd with sheep. And you may not be ordained a pastor or a minister in that sense and have a congregation on a Sunday, but you know, you could often be the person, only person that they can see in your workplace or your home or your school or your college, and you are that pastor. You are that shepherd. You are that shepherd. You're the one that is called to bring in the sheep, called to comfort, to look after them. It's interesting, and one of the things that is quite remarkable and I really admire in this nation is we have on some of the streets of London and Brixton and other areas, where often on the streets there's crime and there's difficulties and people are afraid sometimes, and they often say, London, we need more policemen on the streets. We call them more bobbies on the beat. We need more people on the street. Actually, there are people on the streets of London and Brixton and other places called street pastors. Street pastors. These are people who walk up and down the streets of a neighborhood, getting to know the people, getting to know the neighbors, and saying, we're there to help you. We're there to encourage you. We're there to support you. Any needs, we're here for you. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. We'll help you in any way we can. We're here for you. Street pastors, part of the community, great, ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through them. You see, sometimes we introduce the pastor or the vicar or the reverend or the bishop or whatever, and we say, this is the man of God. And I sometimes cringe at that. I understand that. I mean, Elijah was the man of God. I understand some of that. But in another sense, it's like we're all men and women of God. Because when we say that's the man of God, we say that's the one that does the work of God. That's the one that represents God. He's the one that does the miracles and the healings. And we come to watch him and be entertained by his ministry and hopefully get a word from God from him or a healing from God from him. And we say he's the man of God. And sometimes we introduce our minister as the minister. This is our minister. As if he was the minister, and he was the one to do everything in the church. And in some churches, the minister does everything. The minister visits all the people in the congregation. The minister prays for everybody. The minister prepares the sermon. The minister does the counseling. And a sense that people are set apart for some of those tasks, for church fellowships and families and communities. But it can give us the wrong perspective. You see, ministers, what are they for? Well, Ephesians 4:11-13 says this. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's verse 11, Ephesians 4. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We sometimes call this the fivefold ministry, or some say it's the fourfold ministry, joining pastors and teachers together as one. Whatever, it's four or fivefold ministry. It gives in the next verse 12, what is the purpose of these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these pastors and the teachers. And then verse 12 says this, the purpose of them, why God gave them for the body is for the equipping of the saints, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So who is to do the work of the ministry? It's the saints. It's everybody. The saints is everybody who is a believer, who's born again in Jesus. They are the saints. We're called to equip them. You see, we want the ministers, these great men of God, as we call them. We put the TV on. We have sometimes a Christian television. We listen to them. Oh, these men of God. And they do the ministry. Oh, it's wonderful. But actually, we're not there to watch them. They are there to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And I thank God in these latter days, we're moving away from, in a sense, the one-man ministry. There are some great men and women ministries who serve God. But what I mean by that is we're turning away from this idea that they have to do all the ministry. And many of these men and women who are raised up by God are saying, yes, God is using us to share the gospel, to help counsel people, to bring healing to the sick. He's using us to prophesy. And that's great. But what we're called to do is to equip you likewise. We're called to equip you to do the same work. We're called to equip you to be those ministers. You see, we're all ministers. We should all be equipped to be ambassadors for Christ. As ambassadors, we're his representatives wherever we are. An ambassador in the natural world is usually someone of a high rank who represents a government abroad. And a government does not want to send someone to another country as an ambassador unless they can be trusted, unless they can truly represent that nation well. And so God is calling us and he's saying to us, I trust you. I trust you as my representatives and I trust you to represent me. Wherever you are, go where I call you to go. Do what I call you to do, but be my ambassadors. Isn't that amazing? You see, when we look sometimes at Scripture and we see the 12 men and the women that were with Jesus, we don't see them as, and at the time they didn't see them as highly trained, highly schooled, you know, from the rabbinical schools. They weren't the obvious choice as disciples. They were ordinary people, ordinary men and women. And some were, like Paul later on, was well-trained and well-educated. Others weren't, but they were kind of effectively ordinary people. And they had lots of faults, and the Gospels doesn't hide it. You know, other religions, other scriptures, and the prophet can do no wrong. Any prophet can do no wrong. But actually in Scripture, it takes human beings and says, look, they're normal people. And you see, the we learn about the weaknesses and the foibles and the sins of many of the disciples in the Gospels. And you think, look, you know, they've not learned their lesson. Not the first time, not the second time. You think after all those times with Jesus, they would have changed. And then James and John, they talk with their mother, they talk to Jesus to get them to have a good place in the kingdom on the right, on the high place. And there's so many different weaknesses and so many things that are there. And they grumble, who's the greatest? And think, after all that time, you think they would have learned the lesson. And yet they hadn't done. And yet Jesus still says, I have chosen you. I've chosen you to go and bear much fruit. And we would have looked at them and said, Jesus, you're choosing a right rotten bunch here. And yet they went and they bore much fruit. You see, God chooses us. And sometimes we're aware strongly of our own weaknesses, foibles, faults, sins. And yet God still calls us to be his ambassador, to go and bear much fruit. I wonder, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Do we understand what it means to be his ambassador? It's very important, you know. I guess when I look and read about different things, we have understanding sometimes about other races or other nations, and we have these what we call generalizations about another nation. In our country, we have the English, the Scots, the Welsh, and the Irish, and Britain, and the Scots are known to be mean. That's a saying, they're mean, they're canny with money, they don't spend a lot. We have these generalizations about Scottish people. We have a generalization about other peoples and other nations, and some are very negative, some can be more funny or amusing, but we have these generalizations. And so when we meet someone often from that country or that place, we expect, because we've had this thinking in our mind or we've heard these stories, that that person is actually going to be like that. And then we meet the people from this nation, and actually they're very different from the stereotype, the how we imagine them to be. And it touches us because we think, wow, you're Scotsman and you're so generous. But actually, probably most Scotsmen are very generous. It's a false stereotype. And probably as many English people are stingy and mean as Scotsmen. Our generalizations, our stereotypes affect us. And we have that about different people and different nations. Because in our mind, we've had teaching, or maybe we've seen somebody who's from a country and they were bad, or they were not good. And they think all people from that country or that place is bad. And it's a false assumption. It's a false thinking. Recently, we had the Football World Cup, Soccer World Cup in Germany, where people were impressed by how warm and friendly the German people were and the German population, and how wonderful they hosted the World Cup for people from all nations coming to watch their soccer football teams in that country. And they were impressed, and Germany's rating in the world went up because people thought about German people as being stereotypically very dull, very boring, very organized, no life really in them, just do things effectively but not have much joy. And people were so impressed by it because the stereotypical opinion was broken. And why am I talking about these different groups and races? Because, you see, people view believers in Jesus Christ the same way as Christians. They have maybe met some Christians, and they were not good examples of Jesus Christ. Or maybe they've had a stereotypical picture of what a Christian is like. In our country, in Great Britain, the television often portrays Christian people as wimps. Wimps means people who are really not very intelligent, really not very clever. They need a crutch. They need something. They're not very with it. They're not very, in really in today's society. And often the portrayals, most Christian portrayals, are very negative. And so when they meet us, they have this negative impression of what we are as Christians. And that makes it difficult to be an ambassador, because the representation is difficult to see that. And, and people from other countries and other religions, Muslims, they, because of the nature of their religion, where the whole, everyone who declares that Muhammad is a prophet and Allah is God, everyone who does that is declared to be a Muslim and belongs to the Brotherhood, the Ummah of Islam. And so they're all Muslim. And when they look at a country like Great Britain or parts of Europe, they think that's a Christian country. And they think everybody in that country is Christian. And so they observe the Christians. And what do they see the Christians? They see the Christians going on holiday or in their own country, getting drunk, getting wildly drunk, sleeping around, dressing in immoral and with no, often naked on the beaches and things like that. They see all this activity and they say, that's the Christians. But we know that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian, who lives in a Christian nation, is a Christian. We know that. But to them, they are Christians. And so when we come along with our Bible and we share about Jesus, they think, oh, this is a Christian. And the Christians get drunk. The Christians are immoral. The Christians are not good representatives of God. And so we have that challenge to try and often to create an impression the right impression about the kingdom, the right impression about who God is, the right impression about the love of Jesus. And it can be not easy. We have to overcome the stereotypes. And we have to overcome these opinions people have of us as Christians. And the best way we can do that is by being with the people. Eating with the people. Talking with the people. Sharing with these people. Let them see that we're different. Let them see there's something in us that's different to other people. That's different to their particular idea or stereotype of what a Christian is. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to people. Sometimes we get affected that a lot of Muslims who are coming into Europe and other parts of the world, and they're in large numbers, or other religions, Hindus, and they bring their gods and they bring their teachings, and we look upon it negatively. On the other hand, we can look upon it positively and say, actually, these people are in my country. If I went to their country and I tried to preach the gospel, I may well be arrested. I will well be thrown out of the country, even persecuted or killed. And yet now they're here in my country. Here they're in my home, in my home area. I want them to know about Jesus. I want them to know about His love. I want them to know that He is more than a prophet. I want them to know who He really is. Ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. See, Jesus told us, Matthew 5:13-14. Matthew 5:13-14. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Salt, light. Where there's darkness, we're called to be light. You know, sometimes we see the darkness and we run from it. See, that's so dark. I don't like darkness. I want to be where the other lights are. I want to be where the light is. And then Jesus said, no, you're called to be the light. See, Jesus didn't just spend His time in the synagogues. He did spend time in the temple. As a young boy, he was in the temple. I must be about my Father's house. But then He said, I must be about my Father's business. I do what Father said. And he spent His time with the people. He went, and they criticized Him, didn't they, for the tax collectors, the sinners, the home. What are you doing in that home, that man? You know Zacchaeus? Do you know what he is? Do you know what he's done? What? Do you know what this woman is who's come and touching you with her hair? Isn't she a prostitute? And don't you know all these things, what they are? And He said, you know, I've not called to call the righteous. I've come to bring sinners to repentance. See, a doctor doesn't go to where people are healthy. He goes where they're sick. That's where his usefulness is. That's where His goodness is. And we thank God for doctors, don't we? When we're sick, we can go to a doctor and he can give us our help or advice or medicine or help us, because, and they're there for us. But if the doctors were all away and doctors, surgeries, all the doctors' conferences all the time, and they never came to a doctor's conference and they just enjoyed seminars and teaching on medicine, and then we wanted a doctor, there's no doctor around, what would we do? We'd be annoyed at the doctors. We'd be annoyed at the doctors. Why are you not with us? Why are you not where we're meant to be? And of course, there are some parts of the world where there are no doctors available, where there are a lack of medicine. And it's not easy, because the doctors are not there. And the people need it. How much more do the people need us as ambassadors for all nations? How much more do they need us as ambassadors for the peoples to be there for them? To be that light. Recently in our mission, I mentioned again, recently in the Philippines, we took out medicines with us. We took nurses in our teams. We like to, if God willing, to bring nurses and doctors with us where we can go to communities where they don't have the opportunity to have medical help or treatment. And we've done this in Thailand as well, and and you're touching people's lives that would not have that touch, that would not have that opportunity of health if we hadn't come. That's what it's like, friends. We're meant to be light in the darkness. The darkness may not always understand it, but Jesus said that the darkness didn't always understand it. Many who did not receive Jesus, but the light was shining. The light was shining. Called to be salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, salt is really to preserve and to bring taste. And we're called to preserve things. Preserve goodness in our communities. Preserve goodness in our workplace. Preserve righteousness where we are. We're called to do that. Where things are going rotten, we're called to bring that preserved goodness. And we're called to bring good taste. There's something else, friends. There's something else for you. There's something else that there is greater. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What you think is good is just passing. It's fading away. But there's something that lasts forever. You see, we're ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading for us. I want you just to think about this very carefully. About your role as an ambassador. Are you an ambassador? Are you out where you're meant to be? Are you doing what you're meant to do? Represent Christ. I want you to expand your horizons to think and ask God what He wants you to do. Too many of us are limited in our role as ambassadors. We don't always see the potential or possibilities. I remember visiting Uganda a couple of years ago and very impressed by two ladies in particular. These are ladies, not men. I'm talking about ladies. And I mean that in a sense of it's more difficult sometimes for ladies to do things than it is for men. Anyway, one of these ladies, the first one, was a lady that we met visiting one of the hospitals in Kampala, Uganda. And she was leading people regularly into the hospital to pray for the sick and the unfortunate, to help them in some way, just by praying or being there for them. And the medical side of things and the help in some of the hospitals in some parts of the world is not like in other parts of the world. In places like Uganda, if you're ill or sick, you have to rely on your family to feed you, rely on your family to wash and clean you. I mean, it's not easy. Anyway, this lady, I said, why are you going to the hospital? She said, well, I was a patient here one time. When I was here and I was sick and ill for a time, I was asking God. And I said, God, if I ever get out of here, when I get out of here, I want to go back. I want to go and help people. I realize how unfortunate it is, how difficult it is for people in the hospital. I want to go back and help them. And since then, she has returned to the hospital, regularly visiting the people, taking teams from churches, encouraging people to go in there and pray and be with the people. And I thought, that's great. This is an ambassador for God, for Christ. God pleading through her. There's another way. There's another hope. And the second lady we met in Uganda was one that used to go regularly into prisons. And we went to a prison there. And in the prison, there was a whole community of prisoners who worshipped God, who just served and loved Jesus. And they had their own pastor, the pastor of the prisoner pastor and amongst the prisoners, their own leader. Of course, every now and again, they have to change their pastor because the pastor may finish his sentence and come out of prison. But they had a pastor, and we went in that community, and we saw how God moved among the prisoners and was doing a marvelous work. And this lady was going in there regularly to encourage them, to support this work, to bring other churches and teams into the prisons to help. And I thought, these are people who are going out where there is putrefaction, there is rottenness, where there is darkness, and they're being salt and light. They're being ambassadors. And Matthew 25, 42 to 46 said, I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Lord, They answered, "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and you did not minister to you?" Assuredly, he said to them, "Inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And they were judged according to whether they had been the ambassador, whether they had been the representative for the stranger, for the naked, for the prisoner, for the sick. Some of us live in so much prosperity when there's so much poverty and need. Brothers, sisters, fellow Christians, others who are not fellow human beings struggle without help and provision against great odds. But we live in our own little world, happy being church, happy in our church meetings. It's okay, we're having great meetings. God is blessing us. We wish others well. Oh, we want the world to be happy. But what we can do? James 2:15 says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says," verse 16, "says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" What are we doing for those who don't know? Our ministry is ambassadors for all nations. We're trying to catch this vision of God heartbeat as ambassadors for the peoples of the world. Do you know how much the church as a whole spends on unreached people? I mean, people who've never heard the name of Jesus or likely to hear the name of Jesus. Do you know how much they spend? Less than 0.1% of the budget. Less than 0.1% of its budget. We spend thousands and millions on latest gadgets. We spend thousands and millions on buildings and latest church projects, latest church conferences. And yet there are people without the gospel. People without clothes and needs. But how much of our own budget do we spend on reaching the unreached? How much of our own budget do we spend on the needy of our nation or the nations? I guess truly very little. So are we as ambassadors? Are we as ministers? Are you? Am I? In conclusion, I just want you to see you are someone special. You are as ambassador. You are as minister. Your life in the church, with the community is important, but equally, and probably in some senses, your life outside the church is important and valuable for you as ambassador. Look and see how you can minister to others. Look and see how you can represent Jesus well where you are. Look beyond your spheres of where you are at the moment, like those Ugandan ladies working in hospitals and prisons. Look beyond your little world, even to other nations. For Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:20, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us."